certainly in spiritual life. Praise God. In spiritual life. And we're thankful for the growth that we've seen in young people. Praise God. And Tia and Josh are going to be leaving this weekend. And we're thankful for the Lord's hand upon their lives and his blessings to minister to them. Praise God. And it's exciting to see what God does and the power that he reveals. Now, our responsibilities are obvious in God's plan because Adam and Eve were created for one another. And then they had Cain and Abel, and the whole aspect of responsibility became known in just that microcosm of the first family, and how that the Lord desired those responsibilities to be exercised to one another. You look at the Ten Commandments, and I don't expect you to be able to list all 10 of them, but I think you would recognize that the first 10, or the first 4 of the 10, have to do with your relationship with God. And the last 6 of the Ten Commandments have to do with your relationship with one another. How come a greater emphasis upon your relationship with one another than your relationship with God? John said it, you know, how can you say you love God that you have not seen and not love your brother who you have seen? Amen. Praise God. I remember very clearly one of our ministers challenging a large conference and a powerful conference, and he kind of didn't throw a wet blanket on it, but he brought out a powerful truth by saying, how can you support missionaries, and you should support missionaries, to go to a far country and minister to ethnic groups over there, but you won't even go across the street to invite your neighbor to church? And got kind of quiet in that conference, because the speaker was bringing out a real powerful truth that we have responsibility to reach out to someone near you. Amen. No other gods before me, no idols that you would bow down. Don't take the name of the Lord God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Okay? Those deal with God. And we know the scripture says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your might. Praise God. Then honor your father and your mother. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. Those have to do with your interactions with one another. Amen. And the scripture concludes, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, it's very easy to get used to those commandments, those directions, those instructions, and be able to repeat them from memory. That's good. But the challenge, of course, is to do it. Right. Amen. And to make sure that we follow through on the emphasis that God makes on our relationships. Now, I'm going to touch on just several areas. This is not going to be a marriage seminar, not going to be a family seminar, but because they fit under the category of relationships, and they're important to God, then we're going to go over each one just in a brief manner and try to provide some insights there. Adam was made in God's likeness. That's why a passage of scripture like Romans 5:14 fits with the understanding of who Jesus is. And Romans 5:14 in part says he is the or Adam is the figure of him who was to come. That's why Adam look the way he did. That's why you look the way you look, because you're made in God's image. The only image that God has is Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the image of God. And in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him. Praise God. Oh my, a lot of theology that goes into the oneness of God. Not just a pet doctrine, not just a favorite candy stick of oneness apostolics, but an understanding of how great and how wonderful and how incredible that truth is as it relates to you and I. Adam created in God's likeness, given dominion, and God said, not good for him to be alone. I will make a help meet for him. And that help meet was multifaceted, not just for physical needs, but mental needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. Praise God. And it's exciting, it's wonderful. It's God's plan that your spouse, your lifetime mate, helps you get closer to God than ever before. Amen. And if a prospective mate doesn't do that, put on the brakes. Switch lanes, go another direction. If that girl or that boy doesn't help you get closer to God, then something's wrong. Good preaching, Pastor Glover. Amen. Praise God. Now see, Eve was formed by God from living tissue of Adam. God didn't do that for Adam, and that's why you get the joke about, God improved on the work with Eve, and it was just experimental with Adam. Well, I don't think the Lord was joking. I think he created her, just as he said, a helpmeet, and he brought her unto Adam. And she was created with maternal instincts, with maternal tendencies, created to show tenderness, gentleness, and sweetness, patience, and love. And those are qualities that you'll find in God's creation that he called a helpmeet. Praise God. And we know she was taken from Adam's side, close to his heart, and that she would be treated with heartfelt love. And again, we get the points that are made. She's not taken from Adam's foot for her to be stepped on, not taken from Adam's neck to turn his head whatever direction she wants, and all of that kind of stuff. And thank God the Lord knew what he was doing in this creation. And Ephesians 5 talks about men loving their wives as their own bodies, and he that loveth his wife loveth himself. That's how close the union is to be. That's how strong that connection is supposed to be. You feel each other's hurts. You're aware of each other's needs. And the Lord wants it that way. Praise God. He spoke worlds into existence. He said, let there be. Oh my. The creation that came into being was incredible. The worlds brought into existence by his word. And that same word, the Bible says, upholds all things by his power. Amen. But he didn't speak man into existence. He didn't speak woman into existence. He was hands-on. Amen. That's how special you are. Now, he could have spoke you into existence, but that wasn't the prototype. And God brought her unto the man. The first wedding. Amen. And they lived in paradise with all of its beautiful aspects. And this was a prophetic statement from Genesis 2:24. And Genesis 2:24 is strong in its statement because Jesus reaffirmed that in his teaching. The Apostle Paul mentioned it as well in his teaching. And it simply says, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they'll be one flesh. There wasn't a father or a mother yet. It was just Adam and Eve. And a father and a mother requires a man and a woman. That's the way God designed it from the beginning. And man messing with it now is really creating a mess. But thank God we know what the scripture put forth as far as a model. And that's what we're going to stay with. Praise God. Otherwise, you and I wouldn't be here. What a great, profound insight. Praise God. So God's purpose. Marriage makes two people happy. The password, the purpose, is together. Everybody say together. That's a strong binding force. Love is that binding force. Love never fails. Praise God. Now, there are 5 points that I want to go through here real quick that would help us to establish a healthy marriage. First of all, there's unity. That's why you got together in the first place. And you serve God together. Serving God together, you become more strong, more efficient, more durable, more effective than you would be alone. Remember that example about the horse team of horses? One horse could pull, I'll just make up the figures, could pull a ton. And it's logical to think, okay, a team of horses, two, could pull 2 tons. You double the number of horses, you double the load that they can pull. But that's not the case. If I remember right, it almost triples in the weight that a team of horses can pull as compared to one. That's the effectiveness of a team. And certainly, a marriage is to be effective in that way, a team and the work that a team can do, a lifelong journey together. And the old traditional vows for better, for worse, I guess those aren't in vogue anymore, not as popular anymore. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part. And praise God, I think that's effective because that builds a wall of protection around that relationship and around the hearts, around the home. And that protective love is displayed and it's shown with words and with deeds and with thoughtfulness and with forgiveness. Praise God. So, and thank the Lord for the unity. The second point is keep things confidential. That relationship is special between a man and a woman. There's mutual trust that is exchanged in that relationship. And because of that trust, privacy is very important. Privacy is being invaded by social media a lot today. And people are more open with their thinking and their statements than ever before. It's almost like they tap the keys and they post it and it's not attributed to them. Like, I didn't say it, so that's different. No, if you wrote it, you said it. That's what it comes down to. So, we don't broadcast things on social media that should stay within a marriage. And that's just common sense. Don't put on social media or to your friends private things in marriage. And that helps to keep trust and things that should remain confidential in a confidential setting. Amen. Settle misunderstandings quickly. Two different people are in a marriage ceremony and a marriage relationship, and because of that, there will be some misunderstandings. If they think exactly alike, if they act exactly alike, if everything is done in unison, then one of them is not necessary. But because you're two individuals, there is going to be the misconstruing of things and the incomplete communication and sunrise. Remember that old song, Sunrise, Sunset, Swiftly Past the Days? And it's an old song. And Tevye from Fiddler on the Roof is looking at his daughters and saying, I don't remember growing older. When did they grow older? Time goes by so very, very quickly. We don't have time for behaviors that are going to cause problems. Be angry and sin not. How is that possible? Be angry and sin not. Well, the scripture is telling us that, so it must be possible. It must be something that you can do. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So take care of those situations. Even though you have to swallow pride, even though you have to work through whatever. And the instructions are there because we struggle with those situations sometimes. Let love prevail. Love is going to prevail. 1 Peter 4 and 8 is a good claim, a good set of instructions for homes and certainly for marriages. Above all things. Remember we were talking about the armor and how the shield of faith is what you, above all, take that. Okay, here's another above all. That is obviously important. Otherwise, they wouldn't designate it that way. Peter wouldn't be writing it in that format. Above all things, have fervent charity or love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. I thought the blood of Jesus covers sins. It does. But in relationships, love is going to offer an understanding of the situation and remove the offense as much as it can. And certainly within a relationship of marriage, that needs to be applied. Love is emphasized when Paul writes to husbands and says, husbands, love your wives. He goes on with the instruction for husbands to love their wives. And then he says, he that loveth his wife loves himself. So that obvious emphasis is there. I remember in a counseling situation emphasizing this fact of love, and the wife then saying, see, you have to love me. But it doesn't say I have to love you. Oh, had to straighten that message out, because Titus 2 and 4 says, teach the young women to be sober or to be responsible, to love their husbands, to love their children. Okay. So maturity is a prerequisite. Definitely needs to be in place so that you can assume responsibility and by giving that love as well as receiving it. Praise God. And the last one, let God direct your lives. Let God direct. And he will bring unity because he's the one who did the first marriage and he wanted it unified. He's the one who brought people into the first family. He wanted unity. Unity in worship, unity in devotion, unity in sacrifice. Praise God. And that unity is what the devil hates, by the way. That's why he constantly is attacking marriages, attacking families, attacking churches, because the devil hates unity. He blew it as far as unity was concerned and got kicked out of heaven. And so he wants to destroy the unity that God puts in our lives. But Philippians 2 and 13 lets us know it's God that worketh in you. And he's working in you to will and to do his good pleasure. Praise God. And so we're identifying, this is what the Word of God is telling me. This is what the Word of God is teaching me. So I'm going to apply it in my life. Amen. I'm going to do the work of God. Okay, so there's marriage. Now let's go to the home, the Christian home. Realtors have a maxim or a mantra or a saying or whatever it is. And it's three words. What do realtors say? What is it? Exactly. They're repeating those three words or one word. Location, location, location. And I guess they're trying to say something about where the place is, huh? The square footage of the house, the acreage of the property, the landscaping, the viewpoints, the comforts, the conveniences, all of that is wrapped up in location, location, location. God doesn't need that. God can take something far below standard, or for that matter, he can take a mansion and make it into a home if we follow his directions. Praise God. I like how he expressed in Deuteronomy 5 and 29 his desire for a family and for a home. Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that there were such an heart in them. See, it starts in the heart. And that's where God can make a home and lay the foundation of a home in the lives of individuals. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. And notice this now, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. The next generation. Praise God. And that's what the Lord desires, for the next generation to be able to observe what went on in their parents' lives and then say, I want that. I want that stability. I want that dependability. I want that walk with God. And that blessing is there. And the Lord said after Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, one Lord. He said, the word should be in your heart. And then he went on with a list of how often that word was to be in your heart and you were to teach it to your children. And it looks like it's pretty much all day. And on even into the night. When you rise up, when you lie down, when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking in the way, and so on. All of that helps us to understand it's 24/7, to use a modern phrase. So, all the thinking and the talking in a Christian home needs to honor the Lord. Electronics and media are a strong influence today. That is a very powerful truth. And because of the pervasiveness of electronics and the media, there's got to be a concerted effort, a very strong effort, to remain focused on faith and godly things. Amen. Lay up treasures in heaven. And being able to keep your focus in that direction. Thank God for powerful prayer. Powerful prayer. Praise God. A praying mother, in particular, is a powerful spiritual force. The dedication of each child to the Lord and the recognition of what that means and how the Lord would honor that and how she is able to keep them in prayer for the rest of her life. I've heard parents, not necessarily in the church, but parents, naively say, my life is busy for the next 18 years. Ha, guess again. If you really have love, you really have concern, you really have care. Now, that person needed a good salvation experience. And then that perspective would change. Thank God for so great salvation. I'm glad the Bible describes it that way. So great salvation. And then it gives the warning. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Why in the world would so great salvation be neglected? Unfortunately, it does become neglected. Unfortunately, it does get shoved on the back shelf. And a mom and dad, a praying mom and dad, are going to do everything they can to keep it first and foremost in their own lives as a model, as an example, and then to see it instilled in each child as well. Praise God. And you don't have to be in the bondage of sin before you can celebrate so great salvation. Amen. Praise God. I can remember different ones getting up to testify and testifying about being delivered from drugs, being delivered from this and that and the other and so on. And thank God, that deliverance is real. It's powerful. Praise God. But for someone to never have smoked a cigarette, for someone to never have a drink of beer, someone never experiment with drugs, never compromise their virtue with sexual activity, that's the power of God. Amen. And to be able to step into that great salvation. Amen. Oh, yeah. Thank the Lord. There's so great salvation. Escape the corruption that is in the world and receive and be a partaker of the divine nature. And being a partaker of the divine nature early and always honors God. Amen. And as early as, let's see, that little boy from Kenai that the Millers were taking care of, was he 3 years old? I believe he was 3 years old. Remember that little guy? Received the Holy Ghost. Baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. They probably had to drain the baptistry a little bit to keep from having to hold his nose above water. Praise God. But early and always doing a work for God. Praise the Lord. And the leadership and example of a father and mother helps set the priority of salvation. Okay. Okay, we're just talking about very practical aspects, real points on relationship here that the Lord is interested in. If he wasn't interested in it, he wouldn't put in verses of Scripture like, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Now, some have questioned the veracity of that statement by saying, well, how come they're walking away then? Well, the thing is, I don't think they forget. I don't think they forget the times on a church pew or sleeping under a church pew. I don't think they forget the powerful prayer and manifestation of God in apostolic worship and the hand of God in a tremendous way. We were recalling Sister Russo If you remember Brother Russo preaching about that mule, the shoe of his mule, remember that? Long time ago. And he said, you take this piece of steel, and it's worth, and I think he said $10, something like that. But then he said, and his point was, the more you work with that material, the more valuable it becomes. And I think he said, you take a piece of this steel that is a shoe for my mule, and you make it into a spring for a watch, and I can't remember what he said the value was, but the value skyrocketed. His point was, the more God works in your life, the more valuable you are to his kingdom. Let the Lord do that work. Praise God. Don't stop at one point and say, that's good enough. God, you've worked in my life. I'm thankful. It's wonderful. I appreciate it. No, let God continue to refine. Let God continue to bless and lead you and help you. But Sister Russo gave the testimony of her sister. And she related how her backslidden sister came into the church in a women's prayer meeting and slipped into the back between the pews and knelt down. Nobody knew she was there. The pastor was in his office. He had never stepped into the women's prayer meeting before. That was the women. But God began to deal with his heart while he was in his office, working at his desk. Began to speak to him, began to move on him, until finally he got up, he came into the auditorium, and he said, God told me that somebody here needs to pray through. The women are looking at each other. Who needs to pray through? She stood up. She said, it's me. 37 years backslidden. 37 years she'd not been in the house of God. But now, praise God. Oh, the Lord knows how to do a work. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Praise God. You keep praying. You keep holding on. You keep trusting God. Amen. The Lord will do that work. Let's praise him together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen, 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 amen. So training, that's what the Lord said. Train. Everybody say train. I'm not talking about Choo-Choo or Thomas or, excuse me, Thomas. We're talking about the work that goes into someone's life, what they learn. Put the toys away. Pick up your clothes. Make your bed. Brush your teeth. Put the dishes in the sink after you're done eating. See, those responsibilities grow as you mature, as you become older. Important to remember, they're not little adults. They're not just, you know, short-statured adults. They're young. Remember that in your expectations and in your training. And training requires thoughtful planning. You can't just snap your fingers and expect it to get done. There's got to be thoughtful planning on the part of the parents. There's got to be determination. Infinite patience. Because you can do it way faster and way quicker than they can. But that's not training. That's being a model. That's being an example. But that's not training. And the Lord says, train up a child. Praise God. So bringing up a family is just plain hard work. And the blessings of God. And you're praying for those blessings. Oh, God, give me wisdom, Lord. Oh, God, patience, Lord. Amen. All of those aspects that are good. Because it's worth it. It's worth it. Praise God. I'm thankful for these young men, young women sitting here today. Amen. I can remember one getting the Holy Ghost at camp. And she'd take off running around the auditorium, come back to where we were standing in the front, and she'd take off again, around again. Came back and said, "I feel so clean." Take off again. Come back around and say, "I feel like my feet aren't even touching the floor." That's the power of God in the life of a child, of a young person. Praise God. And if God can make himself so real, if God can make himself so powerful in the life of a child, every parent, every mom and dad is going to commit themselves. "I'm going to train, Lord. If with your help, I'm going to train." Praise God. And the power of the Lord being displayed again in the work that he desires to do. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's see here. Let me squeeze these in. 7 tips for child training. Watch. Watch with vigilance. The mother being there for the child, there's no substitute. I know that we're in a time when 2 incomes are important. I know that that happens, and there's no way to work around that. But no sitter, no entertainment, no daycare or whatever is a substitute, a suitable substitute for mom. Thank God for the sacrifices that are made. And thank God for the dad who will work hard so that the mom could stay home with the kids. Amen. And that watching with vigilance is important. Maintain leadership. Maintain leadership. Always guide. Always counsel. Always lead. Amen. That's part of the training. Train the child to make decisions. When they're teeny tiny, you tell them what to do. When they're old enough, you start training in decisions. You can do this or you can do that. You can take out the garbage now, or no, let's make it a little bit more. You can mow the lawn now, or you can mow the lawn this afternoon, but you are going to mow the lawn. And, that's okay. You decide now or later. And then the consequences of that decision need to be in place without rescue. And, unless they run over their foot with the mower and mom has warned them, if you cut your feet off with that lawnmower, don't come running to me. Crazy things like that. So that training is there, and it takes discipline in order to lead and to discipline. And it's a hardship. But when there are consequences for misbehavior, tailor that. There are times that being grounded hurts worse than a spanking when they're getting a little bit older. And the games are important. The phone is important. Being grounded from those things is a more severe punishment than a lot of things. So use the gray matter that God gave you. And not overboard, but just maintaining that leadership. Amen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is well-pleasing. The Lord is in his word here. Paul in Ephesians 6 is referring back to that Ten Commandment aspect. Commandment with promise, and you'll live long on the earth. And then, almost in the same breath, he gives instructions to fathers. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but Raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the Amplified reads it this way. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them, but bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's pretty good, isn't it? And thank God for the leadership and the discipline that make a difference in the home between blessing and bedlam. You want blessing or do you want bedlam? Discipline and leadership will determine which one you get. And so, that's the important part of it. Okay, help them come to the Lord. Share the Word of God with them as appropriate. Help them to memorize portions of Scripture. I give honor to our Sunday school teachers for the efforts that they put forth in preparation through the week for their lesson, both for the crafts and the Bible story and the snack and all the parts of the 45-minute. 45 minutes goes by real fast, but every minute is precious, and they don't waste it. They're prepared for it. Their classroom is prepared. Their lesson is prepared. They're prepared. They prayed for God's anointing. We pray for their anointing. Amen. I hope you do. That's an important part of coming to church early and praying. Amen. Oh, God, we need you. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the Sunday school teachers. But it's not their responsibility alone. It's mom and dad's. Share the Word of God with them. Model prayer and help them to pray. As we said, Acts 2:38 can be fulfilled in their lives at a young age. Someone said, it's too bad that youth is wasted on the young. And what they were referring to is the energy that's there. Energetic and active. That needs to be directed. So keeping kids involved is important. Lots of time to play, that's important, lots of time to play, but also to help in the home. Not a slave driver, they're not little adults, they're children. So you work with them accordingly, but you do teach them to do little jobs. Their duty and their privilege to help out at home, that's the important thing. And then responsibility, we talked about that responsibility and completing the job. If you have time to do the job over, why didn't you take that time to do it right in the first place? That's pretty silly, isn't it? But how often do we do that? Oh, didn't work this time. We got to do it again. Well, take the time to do it right the first time and teach the children to do it that way, because it's real easy for them to find shortcuts and not do the work. And again, you'll be tempted to just take the 2 or 3 minutes for you to do the job and get it over and done with. No, you take those 2 or 3 minutes to teach them again. And 5 minutes, 10 minutes later, you go and make sure they've taken responsibility for that. Amen. You're teaching them to be self-reliant. You're teaching them to be trustworthy. You train them to do the work the best they can, and not to escape or excuse the lack of it. That's happening a lot today. The escape and the excuse. Nope. Going to do it right. Praise God. And you lead them to learning. Read books of appropriate level to them. That, as a teacher, a former teacher, to me that is the most valuable educational effort that you can make at home is to read to them. Most of the good readers in my 17 years of teaching, most of the good readers were good at other things as well. Very few did I find that were not good readers, but yet could excel at other things. Most of the time, if they could read good, They could do the work, other work just as well. So, reading, very important. When they become independent readers, get them the right materials, the right books. Be careful what's viewed on the internet. And put a guard on it. Establish rules about the use of the phone and what is access there. Praise God. And the last one, make your home the central attraction. Make your home the place they want to be. In Ketchikan, our neighborhood was, the houses were pretty close together. We had a deck in the back of our house before we added on for a church. And we would put our little hibachi, is that what it was called? Cheap little grill up on a piece of plywood across the corner of the railing, and barbecue hot dogs. And I don't know if the smell went through the neighborhood or what, but pretty soon a whole bunch of little kids are showing up and getting a hot dog or getting a hamburger and being with our boys. Make your home the central attraction. Make your home the place where they can bring their friends and you monitor. Okay? That works real good. Because a solid spiritual home is going to be the anchor in the storm. And, there are some storms blowing today. I'm not talking about the natural Hurricane Harvey, is it? Thank God we don't have those up here. But we've got some storms, some spiritual storms, very definitely. And this is where I'll stop now. We've got youth and some other aspects that we're going to cover here next time, Lord willing. But let's stand. The Lord put these instructions in his word for a purpose, not just to fill up space, not just so there's 1,400 pages or so in your Bible, or however many there are, not just so that there are words that you have to read every day if you're going to read through the Bible in a year. They're there for a purpose. And it's our challenge to apply that purpose in every relationship, in every aspect of our walk with God and our relationship with one another. Remember, the cross has a vertical beam and it has a horizontal beam. Your relationships in God are both vertical and horizontal, both with God and with people. And God can get the glory out of all of it. And that's what we desire. Praise God. Come in and pray here now for a few minutes together. Thank God that we can be challenged and blessed and increased in our desire to do a work for God. Because here's the bottom line. Here's what we need to have in the forefront of our hearts. Am I ready? Am I ready? And a powerful message last night about being ready for the coming of the Lord. It's the devil's trick to put the coming of the Lord way out in the future. It's the devil's deception to make us think, yeah, the Lord's coming, but it may be the next generation. It may not happen while I'm here. I may pass and go on. No, the Lord could come anytime. And you've got to ask yourself, am I ready? And it's real easy to, you know, casually say, yeah, I'm ready. I was baptized. I received the Holy Ghost. I'm coming to church. I'm paying my tithe. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. Well, that's good. But I mean, you've got to nail it down. It's got to be solid. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready. Nothing's going to hold me back. Nothing's going to keep my feet on the ground when the trumpet sounds. Praise God. See, that's the challenge. And it's so easy for us to become casual about it, become lackadaisical, and just I hope so. No, you got to make sure. Amen. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Stay busy. Stay fulfilled. Stay focused. Guard your relationships. Fulfill them as God's word says. But remember, he's coming. Till I come. Amen. And I'd like for us to pray. I mean, really, for the next few minutes here, let's really pray. God, let me be ready. Above everything else, Lord, let me be ready. I want to be ready when the trumpet sounds. I want to be ready when the shout comes. I want to be ready when the dead in Christ rise first. I want to be ready, Lord. Come on, can we call on God together? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my Jesus. All that you've done for us, Lord. All of the power you've displayed. Oh, God, the many times you've answered prayer, you've healed our bodies. Oh, God, the expressions of love that you've made for us again and again. Help us, Lord, not to become indifferent. Help us, Lord, not to become casual about our commitment. And, oh, God, let there be a fire burning within us. Let there be a draw within us, God, to be closer to you. Oh, Jesus, that we can indeed be ready. Ready for the trumpet to sound. Ready to leave this world. Hallelujah. To be in your presence forever, Lord. Oh, God, oh, God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let your word, God, be on fire within us. Let the desire within us, Lord Jesus, to be ready for your return be above everything else, oh God. Hallelujah, that you indeed would be the priority, that you indeed would be number one in our lives, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Ah, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Jesus, in your great name, move and work, Lord God, in my life, in my heart. Oh, God. Oh, God, the things that don't please you would be removed. And oh, God, the things that please you would be fulfilled in my life, in my heart, God, in my spirit. Jesus, I ask you for your blood to cover me. I ask you for your blood to cleanse me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, remove every impurity. Remove every problem. God, oh, God, take care of those things that don't please you. And, oh, God, bring me into the place of obedience, the place of commitment, the place, God, of stability. Oh, God, that my faith would increase in you, that I would hold to your promises. God, oh God, in my life, Lord Jesus, would be an example and a light to others. Oh God, your coming is so soon, Lord. Help me to recognize the reality. Help me, Lord, to see the immediacy of it all. Oh God, be able to walk with you in obedience, to serve you with my whole heart. God, oh God, to guard my relationships. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your great name. Praise your great name. Glory to God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, I glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Amen, amen. The Bible describes the coming of the Lord as our blessed hope. A blessed hope, praise God. Not one that's indifferent, not one that's so-so, but a blessed hope that we hold on to. And let that hope work in our lives to bring changes, to bring power, to bring blessing, to bring preparation. Thank God. And we'll be ready.